One of my pet peeves, maybe you'd call it, maybe I have more than one, one of mine, and is that when I'm talking, if the person tries to fill in the blanks as I'm talking, and we call that predictive texting, right? But I don't like predictive conversation. You know, when I went to the, and I pause, and they say store, garage, you know, they're giving me all these choices. I mean, my mind is kind of going blank sometimes. I need help, but that just kind of gets under my skin a little bit when somebody tries to finish my conversation. Just be patient with me. My brain thinks slower than your brain does. I get that. So just be patient with me. I'll get it out after a while. And when I Google something, Google does the same thing. It always tries to guess what I want. And it's kind of humorous at times and kind of annoying in most of the time. And I want to know how fast does a John Deere 50 go. Don't ask me why I wanted to know that. I just wanted to know that. A John Deere 50, how fast does it go in sixth gear? So I started to type in how fast does a, and Google says, I know exactly what you want. And so it gives me a whole list of predictive things that it wants me to check out. None of those were as fast as a John Deere 50 goes. But I found them very interesting, so I lost my focus on John Deere 50, which I found out later, just so you know, I don't want to leave you hanging 9 miles an hour. Okay? So I answered that question. I don't want to get to the end. Is he ever going to tell how fast a John Deere 50 goes? It's 9, okay? 9. You're not going to have a high-speed accident with a John Deere 50. It's 9 miles an hour. I tell you what, you haul hay all day back and forth with a John Deere 50. You don't leave any rock unturned in the ditch. You're watching every one of them back and forth at 9 miles an hour. So we got that out of the way, but the predictive text would say, how fast does a person walk? How fast does a person run? How fast does, and it started to give me all these things, and you can push the button, how fast does a person walk? And so they caught me, I clicked on it. The average person walks 2.5 miles an hour. And it says, do you want to know how fast the average person runs? I said, no, but I kind of do now. And so I clicked on it, and it says 7 miles an hour. And I said, well, I'm not average. I'm like 3.5 in my running. And then it says, maybe you want to know how fast people type. Not until this moment, but okay, 40 words a minute. And then they went, I know how fast, and this was all the choices. How fast do people talk? 130 words per minute. And I found that interesting. How fast does, you want to know how fast people fall asleep? I not really, but it's 17.5 minutes is what it does. And how fast do people chew? And I was like, who asked that? Why is that a choice on Google? Somebody's probably trying to ask that. But you chew, just so you know, 1.353 chews per second. So, you know, wonder you can bite your tongue. And the area you get, you bite your tongue, and then you get this little, and then all of a sudden, whack, 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 you keep biting that. Yeah, 1.5 chews per second. You're just like a machine gun on that baby. No wonder it hurts. And then how fast does the average person read? And that was 250 words a minute. And so I said, well, I wonder how fast it would take me, and maybe we've talked about this before, but to read the Bible. Yeah, because we know there's 729,969 words in the Bible. So you can, if you did the math, you would 48.5 hours to read the entire Bible. And that's 1.6 hours per day, read the Bible in a month. Before we have the excuse that we don't have that much time, we spend 3.5 hours. The average person spends 3.5 hours on their phone a day. So half the amount of time on the phone, half in the Bible, you'd read through the whole Bible in a month. So I just found those things interesting. I don't know if Google wanted to preach this message or what, but I'm happy to know that a John Deere 50 goes 9 miles an hour. And I'm fairly happy to know that we chew 1.53 chews per second. That's going to come up sometime. I just know it is. I told the guy at Turkey Hill the other day, his likelihood of winning the lottery, he needed to be struck by lightning 39 times before he was going to win the lottery. He still bought a ticket. So it was just... He said to me, that is a very interesting fact. I said, yeah, I thought it was too. But 1.53 chews per second. I know it's going to come in handy. But really, the Lord has led me to a passage of Scripture, and I found it interesting. I say all that to say this, that the Scripture that He led me to, I got to know how many words are in it. Now I'm hook, line, and sinker. I got to know how many words. Push the button, please. And this is the text that I had. Guess how many words are there? 250 exactly. I just find it interesting when God does stuff like that. That I just learned that you can read 250 words a minute, and maybe that doesn't mean squat to you, but it's kind of cool to me. And all of a sudden, the passage of Scripture that God has me working on, and I said, I wonder how many words are in that. And I didn't count them. I selected them all. And it was 250 words. So I should be able to read through this in a minute. That's what the statistic says, that I can read through this passage of Scripture in 1 minute. Now, I'm a little bit challenged on my reading, so I'm going to give myself like 1.15 minutes. I don't read as well as some of you. See, I need English as a second language. I don't even know what I speak first, but I need English. But I should be able to read through this in 1 minute. Now, I don't have a timer, but if you have a timer and you want to test me, if I get it, let me know. If I don't, just smile at me anyway. Makes me feel better. One day, as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house and lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and lowered him down on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to think to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them and took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen a remarkable thing today." Did anybody time me? See, I'm not that sharp a reader. Just so you know, it literally has taken me 2 weeks to read 116 of these words. Because I got to reading them, and I felt like I was on a John Deere 50. Just 9 miles an hour. And I didn't want to go any faster than that. Because the passage was just screaming to me. The passage was just coming alive to me. And back to verse 17, it says, "One day as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there," 28 words. "And the power of the Lord was present for Jesus to heal the sick." I couldn't get by those 14 words. I spent hours just pondering those 14 words. Luke, who is the doctor of the day, Luke realized he's the only one. It's recorded in Matthew. It's recorded in Mark. Luke was the only one that said that statement, that the power of the Lord was present for Jesus to heal the sick. How did he know that? What was it like? What was it like when and it's not even the normal word for heal. What's it? Therapeuo. It's E-A-M-I. You can push the button. It's E-A-M-I. He said, and he am I. To cure, to make whole, to free from the effects of sin, to bring salvation. The doctor wasn't he just realizing there's a presence here where somebody could get physically healed. There is a real presence here. And the doctor was realizing that. The doctor started to feel something. And he said the power of the Lord was present so Jesus could heal, so Jesus could E-A-M-I. So he could cure and make whole, to free from the effects of sin, to bring salvation. Verse 18 says this, some men come carrying the paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house and lay him before Jesus. 22 words. Did I skip a slide? Put it back for me. This is my notes on that. And the power of the Lord was present for Jesus to heal the sick. How did Luke know that truth? What was the evidence? What did it feel like? Just pondering this truth. That's what I wrote in my thinking book. What was going on? So then verse 18 says this. Some men came carrying a paralytic on the mat and tried to take him to lay him before Jesus. Another 22 words. And then verse 19 says this. And when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. Another 40 words. When Jesus saw their faith, Jesus said, friend, your sins are forgiven. I couldn't get by those words, those 5 words, those 12 words. When he saw their faith, he said, your sins are forgiven. And then I wrote this in my thinking book. What part did their faith have in the man receiving forgiveness? Because see, sometimes we go quickly that the man was healed and Jesus saw their faith and he said, get up and walk and be healed. That wasn't in reference to what he saw in their faith. He saw their faith and he said to the man, your sins are forgiven. He simply healed the guy to prove that he could forgive sin. Jesus is serious about proving he can forgive sins. But just so you know that the Son of Man, just so you know that Jesus has the authority to forgive sin, I will say to this man, rise and walk. And the guy got up, and I love it. He didn't take his bed. He took what he had been lying on. It wasn't his anymore. And he walked out. But their faith was in direct correlation to him receiving forgiveness. And my mind was saying, God, what was the presence of the Lord that was so palpable, that was so real, that Luke could sense it, that Luke knew it was in the house? And what part did their faith play in this guy receiving forgiveness? There seemed to be a tag team event going on here. 4 guys bringing this guy to Jesus. And he saw their faith, and Jesus forgave his sins. When he saw their faith, Jesus forgave the guy's sins. To forgive there is to loose and send away. He loosed the guy from his sins. He loosed the guy from his sins. And he sent those sins away. And as a result of forgiveness that Jesus gave this guy, you can push the button. The result of the forgiveness is he broke the power and the penalty of sin. He was declared not guilty and lined up under God. And he was reconciled, put on friendly terms with God. That's what it means. He loosed him and set away his sins. And as a result of that, he broke the power and the penalty of sin. And he declared the guy not guilty. And he brought him into a relationship with the Father, a friendly relationship with the Father, because of their faith. Now, I don't think the guy, I think it's five men's faith. If we can have a guy on each corner of the mat and the guy on the mat. But there was a working power. There was a power in the room that could be realized. And I don't know if these guys, the guy on the mat and the guys on the corner of the mat, I don't know if they realized the power as well. And we're going to get this guy to Jesus because Jesus can do what he needs to do. And Jesus says, what I need to do is forgive you. And I want to forgive you. And I'm going to have, I have the authority to forgive you. Push the button. Then I wrote this in my thinking book. I wonder, I could take penmanship classes as well. I wonder if we only read about this amazing happening, or can we experience the same or similar thing? So am I making sense this morning? Is this just so we can read about it? Or are we being invited into something that God wants to do in our midst? Is this just something to record and so we can have a warm fuzzy on a church day? Or is this something that God wants us to experience today? Is he telling us even now that this is something I want to do in August the 6th, on August the 6th, 2023, and I want to do this in your presence as well because I still have the authority to forgive sin? So I wonder if we only read about this amazing happening, or can we experience a similar or the same thing? Do we believe, push the button, do we believe this? Do we believe, there's the whole thing on my thinking book. Push the button again. Is the power of the Lord present for Jesus to heal the sick? Yea, am I. Or do we just come to church? Or do we just sit in a humid-filled room? What are we doing here? What are we doing here? Do we come just because that's what we normally do? Do we come because somebody invited us? Do we come just because we're visitors and we kind of have to go? What are we doing here? Are we here to experience the presence of the Lord? And then I got to ask myself, is it present here today for God to heal? Am I? And what part does our faith have in that? That he wants to forgive somebody today. And what part of it, what role do I play? What part do I play? Where does he see in my faith? Is he seeing your faith? Is he seeing our faith? And he says, not only is the presence of the Lord, but I see their faith. I see the faith and I can release it into their presence because I see their faith. I see the people, they have faith. And Jesus says, I have the authority to forgive sins. Do we believe that he wants to forgive sins? Do we believe that? And I'm just asking myself that as well. Is that presence today? Do we believe that Jesus can forgive? Do we believe it? I know we're in church. We say yes. But do we really believe it this morning that Jesus can forgive sin? That Jesus still has the authority to forgive sins this morning? Do we believe that Jesus will forgive? And do we believe it? Do we want Jesus to forgive today? Work with me here. Because it's not just one guy. In this story, it's not just one guy. In this account, it's not just one guy. It's you and me. And I got to believe, I wonder if there isn't somebody here that needs to be forgiven today. And do we really believe that? Do we really come in here this morning? I woke up thinking this morning, I think God wants to forgive somebody today. But to be honest with you, until I spent a couple of weeks, not one minute, not a minute and a half reading through these 250 words, but after I spent a couple of weeks, I began to think, God, do you want to do that? Do you want to forgive somebody today? And I woke up this morning, God, I think you want to forgive somebody today. I think if you see their faith, can we muster up the faith and say, Jesus, I know you can forgive, and I know you want to forgive. I know you want to loosen someone this morning, and I know you want to throw their sins away from them, and I know you want to restore a friendly relationship between them and the Father. Do we believe that this morning? And I wonder if I believe. Do you believe that this morning? Who believes that this morning? That Jesus wants to forgive someone today? Hold that up. Have the faith like a child, hey? First hand in the air. I believe that God wants to forgive somebody today. I believe it. I believe that God wants to forgive somebody today. I only got 7. We're going to risk it with 7 people. They only had 4. Hold up, I believe. If you believe, start praying for that person right now, just in your own heart. Start praying for that person right now that needs to be forgiven. Because we're going to lower somebody before Jesus. Are you with me this morning? Either that or it's just a story from a couple thousand years ago. Is it a story from a couple thousand years ago? Or is it an invitation to say, I believe, and the AAMI is in the room. And God wants to forgive somebody today. Do we believe? Do we believe that He wants to break the power and the penalty of sin? Do we believe that He wants to declare somebody not guilty and line them up under God? Do we believe that He wants to put somebody on a friendly terms with Him? How about you this morning? Do you need to be forgiven? This is your first time. That's who I'm talking about. Because the next slide is going to say this. Jesus came. Push the button, please. For the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and save those that were lost. You know why you're lost? This is really where it gets serious, because the enemy just wants to hound you to your guts right out of you right now. He wants your kids to get riled. He wants you to have to go to the bathroom. Your bladder is screaming at you right now. In the name of Jesus, bladders, settle down. You're in a room full of people that believe. That believe that Jesus wants to forgive you today. And Jesus is seeking you right now. You're in a room of people like that. And I want you to get forgiveness today. See, the problem is this. Push the button. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands and no one who seeks God. All have turned away and have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. And Jesus loves you anyway. Because John 3:16 says this, it's on the screen. We believe this. I believe this. That God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life. Jesus did not come to point His finger at you and say, you've screwed up too many times. My love has run dry for you. He did not do that. For the Son of Man, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. He wants to forgive you this morning. You were given a piece of paper this morning. And I'm not talking about those that are following Jesus. I'm not talking about those that get it right and get it wrong sometimes. I'm talking about the person right now that has never asked Jesus to forgive them. He wants to do that right now. And I want you to take your paper, and if you need a pencil, there's some people around the room with a pencil. And I want you to take your paper, and I just want you to write my sin. Just write it on that paper, just my sin. It doesn't matter what it is. You don't have to write your sin out, just my sin. Will you do that this morning? For the ones who had never trusted Jesus, that's who I'm talking to. The ones that have never trusted Jesus. Would you write on that paper, my sin? Because you're going to get the trade at the cross. You're going to get the trade that sin for His forgiveness. And He's going to forgive you. Those were the signs. Hold them up. Do you believe that He wants to do that? I believe He wants to do that. Is that you this morning? And I'm going to ask you to do the things that are going to make your muscles quiver. I'm going to ask you to come up. And at the foot of the cross, I realized one thing. At the foot of the cross, there's a big trash can. And if that's you this morning, in response to what Jesus is doing, because He's seeking you right now, in response to what Jesus is doing, I want you to take that paper that you wrote my sin on, and I just want you to crumple it and bring it up here and put it in this trash can. And I want to give you the note from Jesus. The note from Jesus says, I forgive you. Is that you this morning? My sin. Crumple it up. In response to what Jesus is doing, bring it to the trash can, throw it in the trash can, trade it for His forgiveness, and return to your seat. If we're going public with this, enough is enough. I'm taking it today. In Jesus' name, you are a son of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, you are a daughter of the King. You are a daughter of the King. He's waiting for you. He loves you. He forgives you. You're trading it for His forgiveness. You're trading it for His forgiveness. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind can conceive. You are forgiven, young man. We believe you are a daughter of the King. I said, Jesus, how many of these should I print off? He said, just keep printing, baby. Just keep printing. You are a daughter of the King. He loves you. You're trading it. He forgives you. Even when we're little, He forgives you. Ooh, baby. Trading it. I'm trading it. Enough is enough. I'm trading it for His forgiveness today. I'm trading it for His forgiveness. He forgives you. That's not a message from me. That's a message from Jesus. You're forgiven. You're forgiven, young man. Don't ever put this out of your sight. Hang it in your bedroom. Know that Jesus has forgiven you. I knew you were coming. You are forgiven. You're forgiven. You're forgiven, young man. You're forgiven. He loves you so much. You're forgiven. Will, you're forgiven, man. You're forgiven. You're forgiven, man. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. He forgives you. He forgives you, honey.
I love it.
I love it. Thanks for coming with her, Dad. He forgives you. Oh, honey, He loves you so much. Jesus loves you so much. Trade it, honey. You got to trade your sins for the forgiveness.
Yay.
Amen. 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 He loves you so much. And He wants you to know Him so much. He forgives you, honey. He forgives you. He forgives you. He forgives you. I'm not sure if the Lord got it wrong or if I did, but there's one forgiveness left. The next verse says this. The thief only comes to kill and destroy, but I've come that they may have life. Push the button. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, and so great is His love for those who fear Him, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Your sins. Amen. Are forgiven. He's removed them. You will never stand guilty of the sins that Jesus forgave you for. You will never hear Jesus mention them again. You are forgiven. And Jesus says, I want you to remember. I know some of you want me to put that fire out, don't you? Just so you know, I'm resisting not putting more fuel on it. So work with me here. Just listen to those that have come. He said, if you do not deny me before man, I will not deny you before the Father. You publicly walked here and traded your sins for His forgiveness. And He left this symbol of communion for us to do. So I'm going to ask a few guys if they'd come and just pass these out. Just hold them. Just hold them. Tyler, take that. Go ahead, pass them out. I believe. You still got your believe sign? Just flash them again, will you? I believe. On your communion cup, you're going to flip it upside down, and you're going to take the bread out first. It's on the bottom of the cup. You can do that while everyone else gets theirs. Just hold it for a minute. But that's where you're going to get it, upside down. Yours is a double decker. Yours, bread is on top. You see that haze in the air? That's burned up sin. It smells good. Maybe I'm smelling the forgiveness, hey? Did you get one, MJ? Just so you know, I believe, and so do you, that Jesus has the authority to forgive sin. And he said, I want you to know this, disciples, that my body is broken for you. And I did this because I loved you, and I love you, and I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to enable you, and I'm going to set you in a right relationship with the Father. I'm going to do it. And I want you to have a memory often that I did that for you. Father, thank you for that this morning. Thank you for the forgiveness that Jesus gives us. And thank you that on that night, a couple thousand years ago, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And he said this to his disciples, my body, which is broken for you, do this in remembrance of me. New Life, let's eat together. In the same way, just flip the cup over and take the top off now. He said he took the juice, or he took the wine. And he said, my blood is going to pour out, and it's going to cause the Father to forgive you. Because it's by my blood that you are forgiven. Because life is in the blood. And Jesus came that you may have life and have it to the fullest. Jesus, thank you for pouring out your blood for us. Thank you that you stayed on the cross. We've heard it said many times that the nails didn't keep you on the cross. Your love for us did. Thank you that you endured the cross. And I'm thankful that you left the trash can at the bottom of the cross, where this big dispenser is, I forgive you these notes. Jesus, thank you for that. Father, we love you, and that's because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. One more slide. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. It's a new day. Let me say it in the best English I got. You ain't the same. You're forgiven. And whatever up to this moment doesn't matter. You stand forgiven now. Father, I ask that you would just bless us. Father, I ask that you would pour out your strength on us. Father, I ask that you would work miracles. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you heal Renee Gunnett just to prove that you can forgive sins. I pray that you would heal Cheryl. You would hear Tobin. If you need to be healed, just stand up right now. I'm just going to pray for you. Just need to be healed. Father, we stand before you as ones that need to be healed, physically healed. We know you can forgive. And we're asking you to heal us now, to give great evidence that your EAMI is in the room. So as we stand before you, heal us, Father. Heal us, Jesus. New Life, stand with us. Father, once again, I say thank you for these moments together. And Father, I'm going to pray a blessing on those that responded to the cross and dispensed their sin into the garbage can. I pray, God, that they would know that they are children of yours. The enemy is going to try to beat them up when they leave here. And they're going to try to say, that you think that little thing did that? And I'm going to say, it surely did. Amen. Because they traded their sins for your forgiveness. Amen. You'll do that all day long, Jesus. And you did it today. So secure them, God. Put a bubble over them, God.
Amen.
Let them be protected on this day. Let them just bask, not in war, but bask in your presence, in your blessing, in your favor today, in this beautiful, right relationship with you. Just let them soak it up. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.